Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old time. I want that old time. I need that old time religion. And it's good enough for me. Let's start the first. Old time Holy Spirit and the devil. That's the reason people fear it, but it's good enough. Oh, give me that old time. I need that old time. I need that old time religion, and it's good enough for me. It will make you stop your life. It will save you. Stop your lying. It will save you when you're dying. It will start the devil, and it's good enough for. Oh, give me that old. Give me that old time. Give me that old time religion, and it's good enough for me. It's so good, Brother Eli. It will make me love my brother. It will bring things, all the secrets, all the hidden mysteries. Hallelujah. Give me that. Oh, give me that. I want that, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, time, religion, and it's good enough for me. Amen.
I just would like to give this short testimony.
Amen.
First of all, my finger is healed.
Amen. So, amen.
Amen. Yesterday, amen. I could play some songs.
And, amen.
I even wanted to sing this
you
morning.
Can.
No, thank you. I was not prepared. The thing I would like to thank the Lord for is that I started my new job last Thursday. The way I got that job, it was just the hand of God, because
amen.
I didn't really look for this job. I was not happy the place I was working, so I started trying to think to find another job. I applied for a few jobs, but they didn't come back to me. This one, they just sent it to me. I just received an email. And when I saw the requirement, I said, definitely, I'm not this person, so I won't apply. But after a few days, I just replied them. I said, okay, if you find, you saw my CV, if you find that it's fine, we can go ahead. So they planned for an interview. I went. And it was very tough, because I was expecting an interview, but it was actually a trial. Because I spent almost 2 hours with them, and they were just, you know, blasting me with very high level technical questions. So, and the fact is, I'm only 1 year in this area, because I come from a different background. I come from an aviation background. When I came here, I couldn't work in aviation, so I decided to change career. I'm only 1 year, but the things they were asking me was very high level. So I say okay. And I came back. A few days later, they rang me. They say, okay, you are shortlisted for the second round interview. Come such day, I went. And it was another very tough, even tougher than the first one. I said, okay, let's see. Just the day after they rang me, okay, we are giving you the job. I said, okay. And but when they offer the job, the conditions they put in, it's when I happened to realize that passport issue came up. I lost my passport. I can't say I lost it, but I can't find it so far.
Can't see it.
So I just said I may not get this job because they want me to bring my passport with me. So I just waited, and the day I had to start, I went. They didn't even mention that issue of passport. They gave me the contract. And when we discussed in the interview stage, the money they were offering was, I was just okay. I said, let's go. But after they gave me the job, they rang me to say, okay, we are even giving you more money, because we found out that it was...
Amen.
So I just went and they gave me the contract. When I was reading the contract, we discussed that it would be a one-year contract, but they said it was a permanent, full-time, and everything. So I just would like to thank the Lord for that and for your prayers.
Amen. Amen. While the next lot get ready, let's sing then. Hallelujah, He's an answering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, He's an answering. He answers all my prayer when I pray in Jesus' name, in my faith. Hallelujah, He's an answering. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. Come. Hallelujah. When I pray in Jesus' name, in my faith, once again, hallelujah, He's an answering
I've been talking to you about great joy. Yes, great joy to you and all mankind on this very night a child is born.
According to the prophecy of Isaiah, it was said, therefore a child shall be born unto us, and his name shall be called Emmanuel.
Isaiah shaking his head with his prophetic sight, for unto us a child is born, and a son is given, and the government shall be upon the shoulders, and his name shall be called.
Wonderful!
Wonderful!
Counselor!
Counselor!
The mighty God.
Amen. The King of Peace.
Exactly.
Amen.
A humble handmaid of the Lord, Mary found favor with God, and she was chosen to give birth to the Messiah. She was obedient to the greatest calling of her life.
Amen.
Come along with me to a small town called Bethlehem on a solemn, silent, holy night where angels come together to honor the King that was born tonight.
Silence filled the heavens and the earth. All the earth has to pay attention to honor the birth of the Messiah.
Amen. Oh, holy night.
The stars are brightly shining.
'tis the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of
God allowed three men, wise men, to see the stars in heaven proclaiming the birth of Christ. These wise men traveled from far and brought gifts to the king.
I bring gold to represent your most kingship.
I bring you frankincense in order to Roman Rome.
I bring you myrrh that represents your death to save the world.
The night Jesus was born, what would you give him? Your time, your money, your idea, your ambitions, or would you give him your life? God gave a great gift to us when he gave us his son. Living our lives for him is our great gift to him.
Amen.
to the ages, God has been searching our man to fellowship. Down to time, man has been searching for a perfect sacrifice.
You see, my friends, sacrificing of a lamb in the temple, worshipping only cover after sinners. The next year, the sinner was back with the lamb and presented it to the priest, who was used as a sacrifice.
The birth of Christ was a perfect lamb. Without his birth, death, burial, and resurrection, could man stand bold before the throne? It was this lamb's blood that completed and cleaned our sins like we have never did it in the first place.
So I'm here too with you about the point is he was born. We are here to tell you to celebrate this great timing of great joy. We are here to tell you to rejoice, be glad. Joy, joy, joy to the world, a Savior is born.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Benji, are you singing for us? Let's sing that song.
Here is love, vast as an ocean, loving kindness as a flood. When the Prince of Life answered, did for us his precious blood. Who is love and like a river?
Let's start again. Sorry, we haven't sang it for a long time. Even I forgot the words. Amen. Amen.
Here is love, vast as an ocean, loving kindness as a flood. When the Prince of Life our ransom shed for us his precious blood. Oh, his love will not remember. Who can cease to sing his praise? He can never be forgotten throughout heaven's eternal days.
that mount of crucifixion, fountains open deep and wide. Through the floodgates of it receive, float the vast and gracious flood. Grace and love like mighty river overtakes it from above. In the days when perfect justice kiss the guilty world.
Let's start again.
Who is love, vast as an ocean, loving kind, this as a flood. When the Prince of Life for ransom shed for us his precious blood. Who is love will not remember, who can cease to sing his praise. He can never be forgotten throughout heaven's eternal days. On that mount of crucifixion, mountains open deep and wide. Through the floodgates of God's mercy flowed a vast and gracious love. Love like mighty rivers poured in saints and from above. Heaven perfect justice is the guilty.
Let's sing that last one.
Oh, grace and love like mighty rivers poured in saints and from above. Heaven's peace and perfect justice is the guilty world with love.
Amen. Such love, amen. Very nice from the children. It makes you want to sing these songs.
That God showed love, the sinner such as I, chosen to change my sorrow into bliss. No rest in his had planned to bring me back. How wonderful is love like this. Such love, such love, such love. Oh, such love, such love, such wonder. Such is I, how wonderful is love like this. So joined so freely in the scheme, although it meant his death on Calvary, yet than love divine that advances. Oh, such love, such wonder. Oh, such love, such wonder. Oh, that God should love us such as I. How wonderful is love like this. Oh, a willful outcast such as I, the Father led the slave to buy. Who long had low and grace defied. Such love, such love, such wonder. Oh, such love, such love, such wonder. How wonderful is love like this.
Hallelujah.
Now it takes me to his altar.
Thank you, Jesus.
He asks me not to fill a servant's place. The fire of wandering, wandering soul.
Saints, as we start, first thing I want to say is that round of applause we gave to the children sure didn't do justice to what was done today. I think let's really give them a proper round of applause. Hallelujah. That was good evangelism. And may the Lord bless them for that. And to the sisters who arranged that, may the Lord really bless them as well. All the work that went in. Sister Erica's traveling back to Lithuania for Christmas holidays. Please remember in your prayers. Brother Vlad asking the saints to remember his children. They're sick, couldn't come to church this morning. Sister Julie's asking for prayer. She's writing exams for the next 2 weeks. And Brother Jose and family are traveling to South Africa this Monday. So let's remember them. Let's bow our heads. Father, we're so grateful, so glad. How wonderful that it is. Lord, you've been singing of such love. Oh, Father, that's what makes all the difference. Lord, every one of us here are products of your wondrous love. For what you've done for us. Lord, that you loved us when we were yet unlovable. That, Father, you visited us with divine love. That you revealed, Father, your love unto us. And, Father, we so appreciate and thank you for that upon this day. Amen. And, Lord, Father, for our children upon this day, we so appreciate and thank you, Lord, for grace upon them. Amen. Father, continue to deal with them. The sisters, the teachers, Lord, bless them. Amen. Brother Wilmore, bless him, Lord. And our Sunday school, Father, we think of our youth. We think of all things. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Father, we appreciate your goodness in this age that we live. And Father, may you take us deeper and take us further into your love. Amen. That, Lord, you may apply the blood on the door. Amen. That, Father, it may always be fresh and living, Lord. Amen. That it may minister, Father, to the needs we pray. Amen. These requests before us, Sister Erica, bless her in her journey. Bless her as she be back home, Lord. Father, let it be a blessing. Father, Brother Jose's family, bless them as well. Father, give them a wonderful time. Bless the fellowship that they have, Lord. May they be a blessing. May they receive a blessing. Lord, bless their travel arrangements. Bless all that they would do, we pray. Sister Julie with her exams, Lord, we just pray that the great wisdom, Father, of the greater than Solomon will be her portion. That should overshadow her soul. Let her be at rest. Let her be at peace. Guide and lead her, give her, Lord, Father, the unction, Lord, the understanding that she needs. May your blessing be upon her, we pray. And Father, we do pray for Father, Brother Vlad, Sister Lydia's children, Lord, this vomiting, Lord. Father, we look unto thee, even as we prayed on Friday. Lord, We just bring the request unto thee once again. And we ask of you, Father, in your goodness once again, that you would just visit that house, Father and Lord, that spirit of infirmity, Lord, that darkness that would come, Father, to afflict our children. Father, we send the word to heal them in Jesus' name. And we ask of you, Lord, Father, that you would magnify your name. Father, reveal, Lord, your dominion over every power of the enemy, Lord. Bring to naught, Father, his every purpose, we pray. And bless your people. As we open up your word, won't you bless us in your word? And them gathering in like manner to the north, south, east, and west, bless them upon this day. We do think of them. We do pray for your blessing upon them as well. As we thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen,
amen, saints. Let's open the book of John chapter 18. John chapter 18. We have a baptism today, which is a wonderful thing. It's always good to see baptism. But let's, before we get to that, let's continue what we were speaking of last week on evangelism. Let's continue on that thought. As we said, we went out with the saints, went to the Wicklow conference. We went to seek the mind of God. Amen. And we had a big agenda when we went. We only probably got about 25% of the way, because what came from just the time we were there, you could spend a year on those things. And don't you love it when it's like that? Now, when the Lord shows you potential, shows you possibilities, starts showing different things, each and every one of which is worthy in itself to spend a lot of time on. Now, I don't think we need to quickly rush on to something else. When the Lord has granted goodness and wisdom and grace to his sons and his daughters. But I'd say we need to just stay and pray for the Lord to overshadow the seed, the principles of these things, that they may bring forth of their own kind. Because that's obviously what you want. Because the word in itself doesn't do much, but it's when the word is made flesh, that's when it has an effect. And that's really what we're looking for. So look what the Lord Jesus said. John 18 verse 37. This is when he was before Pilate. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Amen. Our friend, what a testimony.
Amen.
And that's the purpose that you were born.
Amen.
And that's the purpose that you've come into this world.
Amen.
Is that you may bear record of this truth.
Amen.
That we may bear witness of this truth. Let's look in Acts 26, verse 16. Acts 26, verse 16, when Paul was giving a testimony of his own ministry, giving an account, and he's speaking about when he met Christ on the way to Damascus. He says, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Amen. That's why the Lord's appeared unto you, to make you a minister and a witness unto the things that you've already seen, and there's lots of things he's going to show you. And when he shows you those things, he wants you to be a witness and a minister of those things too. That's being a faithful steward of this glorious mystery of Christ. Let's look at Acts 1 verse 8. Just to remember, when the Lord gives resources, what they're given for. Acts 1 verse 8, and you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. Just from that scripture we've read just there, I think we can encompass a lot in there. Because who are we to bear witness to? Where are we to bear witness? Now, I don't think you and I are called to bear witness in Jerusalem. You know, obviously, we're not. I mean, that's what was their realm there. But we can look in that verse and we can see all the different types of evangelism as well. Because our Jerusalem is our home. You know, so to bear witness in Jerusalem is to bear witness where you're familiar. Where you already have relationships, where you already have contact with people, where you already know about, you know, your neighbor's sick and you know this, that and the other. You know, the people you work with, the people that you're in college with. These are the people that are close to home. So that's a good place to start. If you're going to start bearing witness, hey, I mean, bear witness to your children, like we said last week. Bear witness to your neighbors. Bear witness to brothers and sisters and uncles and aunts and those different relationships that the Lord has already given you access to. So it says, in Jerusalem and in all Judea. So that's close to home. Now, the disciples, they felt very much at home in those places. And these were familiar territories. These were places where they knew people. They could go somewhere. There was some place that they could stay. You know, they had relatives, they had friends, they had associates. So it's a good place to start. Yeah, we won't get into it today, but they did start well. But the apostles, with the Great Commission, they didn't go too far. They decided to stay in Jerusalem, you know. And the Lord had to raise up Paul to take it to the Gentiles, because you know it's not an easy thing to fulfill the Great Commission. There's going to be many things they're going to oppose. Many things they're going to try to sidetrack you. But we need to keep the vision. We need to keep the vision before us. So we need to go to Samaria. Samaria, what were the Samaritans? They were half Jew, half Gentile. No, so these are people that you associate with in a certain sense. You know, I mean, we have relationship with certain people, so we're going further afield. And then we're going to the uttermost parts of the earth. So these are to the strangers. These are to the people out there that we've never met, we don't even know, but the Lord knows them. You know, so this evangelism, it starts off close to home, but, you know, you can keep on enfolding it out and you keep enfolding it out. And in order to achieve this, it's going to need all the different things that we said. It's going to need the resources that we need. Amen. Now, we as parents, we're going to need the resources to minister correctly to our children. You know, the Lord's going to have to give us that. And He's given us the message of the hour. He's given us the scripture. And He's taught us in the scripture by teaching through the, even Moses telling the families in Israel, you know, how they should deal with their children. Now don't allow them to associate so much out there, you know, and don't allow them to get influenced by the gods of other nations. And, you know, there were certain things He taught them, and tell them about the mighty things that the Lord has done and so forth. And if you look in the book of Joshua, where the problem came in, after Joshua left, it says there rose another generation that knew not the works of the Lord. It says, and Joshua died, and all the elders that lived, outlived Joshua died, and then there rose another generation. And friends, we've come to that stage in the message. Amen. You find out that the young people now can doubt things that we would never have doubted. Yes. The young people now can question, like, Brother Branham's visions and, you know, Brother Branham's ministry. Somebody was saying it the other day. We were speaking to somebody and they were saying it. One of their relatives was trying to tell them to say, no, Brother Branham, those visions weren't really true when you're standing on the platform. It was Brother Branham had liaised with the people before the meeting. You know, he had found certain people. You know, to those people that were there in the days of Brother Ram, they never ever brought up that objection. Because they were there. They saw it. But now there comes another unbelieving generation who don't have the fresh impact of that visitation anymore. You know, it's like people now, they question the resurrection. Yet every one of the disciples died for the faith. Amen. Who is a better witness of whether the resurrection is true? Some modern day atheistic scientist or somebody who lived back there? Because surely for someone to be crucified upside down like Peter, or be crucified like Andrew on St. Andrew's cross, for someone to give up their life to the lions, dying like Philip did in India and so forth, if Christ never resurrected, yeah, do you think those people would have done that? No person would die for a lie. Amen. You know, so the people who lived near the time are far better witnesses of something than the unbelievers who don't know anything about it, but are just hearing some secondhand something. You know, so that's what I see when there comes that next generation. The things that we took for granted, we never questioned a lot of things. All my life, I never questioned the Bible being the Word of God. I never did. But now we've come to a generation that questions, is that really God's Word? You know, so we've got to adapt to the times. You know, we've got to like update our resources and update our tools so that when the enemy wants to come in like a flood, we need to allow the Spirit to raise the standard to meet him in the point of need, exactly where he is. And that's what we're speaking about when we're out there. But, you know, we've come to another generation. You know, we've moved on. Those people who were with the prophet, they never quit. The problem with those people, can I tell you the honest truth? They go too far. They want to worship the prophet. It's not that they wanted to disbelieve the prophet. That glory that was evident and that that witness of the ministry of the Son of Man in the prophet's ministry was so powerful that it dazzled some of those people. Amen. Until they thought he was Jesus. Yeah. And now you find people coming to say it was all made up. Ah, friend, please don't come and give me an argument like that. Amen. I'm not going to give you an inch of time. A second of time. If you're coming, give me something real. Give me something that's got some weight, some fact. And you can't tell me. Yeah, my. Imagine Congressman Upshaw. Yeah? You can read his testimony. He wasn't a message believer. But he was 60-something years in his wheelchair. Then the prophet saw the vision. The man got out of his wheelchair. Congressman Upshaw, if you go and read his history, he actually made a testimony pack. Yeah, of his testimony, different resources. You know who he gave it to? He sent it to Winston Churchill, or his friend. He sent it to Stalin. That's not the message. That's history. You know, and that man, now you come and say, this was all made up. How can a man sit in his wheelchair for 66 years and be made up? And then in front of 4,000 or 5,000 people, a prophet, on the way out, when he's so tired, he catches a vision and says, tell the congressman to rise and walk, he's healed. And the man rises and walks and goes and testifies on the steps of Congress, yeah, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. No, please, please, please. Hey, let's get a little bit deeper into the things. Amen. Before we criticize something, go and look at it. Yes. Go and look at those tens of, how can the prophet go to Finland in front of all those people, yeah, and he doesn't even know how to pronounce their names. He has to, he's seeing a vision of a street sign and he's reading it off. He says, you stay in a certain street called J.A., oh, you couldn't even read. Oh, friend, please. You know, hey, I really, when sometimes when I look at those things, I say, no, no, no. Go and dig into something before you criticize it. Yes. Before you come out with criticism, at least give it a fair chance. Yes. At least go and look at it with an honest point of view. And then weigh it up. And if you want to still get in disbelief, that's fine. But at least give it a fair shot. But that's what happened the generation after Joshua. And that's led it into the book of Judges. There came a generation that didn't know Moses. Now they could question, well, Moses maybe didn't really go through the Red Sea. Do you think you could tell Joshua they didn't go through the Red Sea? He was there. Amen. He saw it for himself. There was a generation again, I don't really believe that story about the smitten rock. You know, there must be some other explanation. If you were there in the desert, and your mouth was burning dry, because you hadn't drunk for days, and Moses goes before a great rock and smites the rock, and water gushes out to give water to 2 million people, you're not quickly going to doubt those kind of things. And that's why it's so important to be a living witness of something. That's why Christ would appear to Paul and say, I've appeared to you for a purpose, to be a witness. Now, you can only be a witness of something that you know. And that's why we said the basis of your Christian life has to be experience. Amen. There's got to be revelation, but revelation's got to lead you to experience. Amen. It's not enough to keep it on the pages of the Bible. Yes. It's got to become flesh in you. Yes. You've got to know, I know the day of Pentecost is true because it happened to me as well. Amen. I know divine healing is true because he's healed me before. That's how when I see it in the Bible, I can say, that's true. Not because just of what it says, because it happened to me. Amen. I can bear witness of that same thing. And that's the real thing about evangelism. Evangelism's got to be fresh. You can't be an evangelist. You can't be a witness of something that's not fresh or not that's not real to you. That's when it doesn't work. You know, so the first thing, like we said at Friday on the prayer meeting, you got to keep your own experience fresh. Amen. Because even if you've got nothing else to say to somebody, just tell your testimony. Amen. Tell what the Lord did for you last week. Tell what he did the week before. No one has got a genuine, I mean, some people are real demon possessed, I understand that. But a genuine person, even though they might be a critic, an unbeliever, but if you tell a genuine testimony of something that happened to you, it's very difficult for them to argue against that. It's very difficult. It's very difficult to say that's not true. How can you say to me it's not true? Were you there? Yeah. I was there. You weren't there. Yeah. So people know and they discern it inside of their own heart. When you're bearing witness of something that's true, God backs it up. Amen. There's more than just your words there. There's an atmosphere there. There's a truth. You're bearing record not of yourself. You're bearing record of him. Yes. So he'll back you up. And deep down in the conscience of that person, though they may be trying to say things against what you're saying, but there's a red light that starts to flash inside of there. There's a buzzer down inside of the soul called a conscience that God starts to minister to. Because the God who gave you the testimony is the same God who's going to confirm it in the conscience of that person. And he'll do his own work. Now that's how we've got to keep the things up to date. And when we were out there and we were speaking about the different resources that you can use, we said the same thing. We all came to the same point. It's we need to move up to date. Now we need to get our resources more up to date. Because now there's another generation. And that's how we're saying to our young people, that's one of the things we really want the youth to help us with when we get out to Wicklow, is we really want the youth to help us with this. Because the challenges of the youth in this age, only the youth understand. I don't understand the challenges of young people as much as the young people themselves do. Because in our day it wasn't quite the same. Now it's a different level, it's a different measure. There's a different anointing of evil. It's getting deeper and deeper. And the drugs and the things that are going around now and the things that are taking place and the unbelief. Now we need grace. You know, we really need grace to raise up the standard higher. You know, so that we can meet this challenge that no matter who the Lord brings inside of our midst. Now, if God calls you, He's going to equip you. If God wants you to do something for you, He's going to give you the resources that you need. And you've got to use the resources that He starts to minister to you. And we need to keep those things up to date. Now, we're in the digital age. We know that. So we really need to keep ourselves going in that dimension as well. Now, because that's where you're going to meet a lot of people. A lot of people, the majority of their life is spent in the digital world. A lot of young people now don't even live much in the real world. It's all Facebook, this, that, all the time in digital media. I've heard so many people telling me, my niece tells me a lot of things about what takes place. But guys going to a party and sitting, chatting with each other while they're sitting next to each other, but chatting using social media. Not even talking. But guys will be like, that's the world that people live in. Now that's a world that if we don't also put something there, friends, the devil's already there. Amen. You know, the devil's already there. Now, where I think the big mistake can be made is what you find like the Pentecostals did. Is to try to reach out to the youth. They changed the message. They changed the content. There's nothing wrong adapting the means. Yeah? There's nothing wrong adapting the way that you present something. But we can never change what we present. That's the key. Amen. We must always earnestly contend for the faith that was once given to the saints. Amen. Now we might do it in different formats, different ways. We might have good ideas coming from people, but you can never water that down. But the Pentecostals thought by watering it down, they could really reach the earth. Youth. No. Anybody who's seeking deliverance needs truth. Amen. You shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. There's nothing else that sets you free apart from the truth. And God raises a standard in every age. So we need to keep that pure. We don't need to compromise a speck on what we believe. But what we need is to really examine the ways we present it. And to find new ways and new forums and new formats of presenting this information, this message of the hour, this visitation, this witness of what you believe. You know, so we need all those kind of things. And we spoke about it quite a bit. Martin Luther, the greatest thing in the Reformation which they used, which spread the Reformation, was the printing press. Now, Gutenberg invented the printing press, and that was the grace of God. God allowed the printing press to be invented just before Luther came with the message of the hour in his age. And that Luther and them quickly, they saw the potential of the printing press. You know, that we can use this now just as much as the devil was using it now. And all the atheism went out and pornography and all that started in those days going out. But Luther realized the potential of that technology. Amen. That we can harness this technology to quickly disseminate this truth. Now it can move from the north, south, east and west in a far quicker way. And like the saints always say, you know, the tape recorder, exactly the time as the prophet coming. Amen. You know. It was the days of the voice of the seventh angel. So God gave that medium. And the very first words in the message, if you look in the database or what? Does anybody know the very first things if you open the message database, what it says? It's from Faith is the Substance, paragraph 1. We're getting some new gadgets for recording. That's the very first thing. The prophet straight away discerned that one there. The saints say when the prophet first heard people recording his message, he got excited. He didn't like his own voice, but he got excited. The medium that was being used, because he saw the potential. He saw the potential. And now we've moved on from there. We've moved deeper and we've moved further. I'm not going to get too much into that today, but that's a real rich realm. You know, that already we're starting to look at, and we really want our youth to help us with that as well, is to get deeper in that realm, the digital age. Because friends, we've got something powerful.
Amen.
Yeah. All of those things, maybe they were just invented so that we can put the truth there. That's why what they're there for. No, the devil has perverted the real use of these things. The internet shouldn't be used for all these other things. The internet should be used for the glory of God. Music should be used for the glory of God, but Satan perverts it and uses it to appeal to the sensuality and fallen natures of people and makes them behave like animals and beasts and wakes up all these things that shouldn't be woken up inside of people. You know, so we need to reclaim those things and say, no, 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 no. We're going to put down our stakes here. We're going to use this for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
As for you, you can use it for something else. But as for us, we're going to use this now for the kingdom of God. So we need to branch out in some of these things and take our things a little bit further and get our things more up to date. So it's a big challenge, which we're already speaking about amongst the saints. And we'd really like the young people to help us with that.
Amen.
Give you some statistics. 60% of Irish people have Facebook accounts. And 72% of those people log on every day. That's a big presence there.
Amen.
Well, that's some way to look at. 81% of the Irish population uses the internet. 81%. But let me tell you, out of that 81%, a fraction of that will read. A lot of them don't read. People don't read these days. Everything's on the internet. People get all their news from Facebook. Yeah. They get all the news from those kind of sites. You know, it's a challenging time. And Ireland has the highest mobile internet usage in the Western world. Irish people are so keen on the mobile to access it there. You know, it's like we're saying when we're out there, we've already got some things we're in process of doing. But you need prayer. We want the ideas of the saints as well. As the Lord burdens you and lays ideas upon your heart of how more effective we could do in utilizing these various resources, seeing the trends and the way things are going, and we want to move along and get ourselves into those things as well. Whereas accessing the internet in Ireland from the PC, from your computer, has gone down from 77% of usage to 56% in 2 years. So less and less people are using the big screens. More and more people are using the small screens. You know, so we need our things adapted to that. We need our things adapted to this kind of a generation where a person's not going to read an 8-page tract. But they will take a challenge. Like Brother Ellie made a very good little serpent seed one the other day just to pose a few questions. Did Eve really eat an apple? How come they realized they were naked? Further information, visit messagedublin.com. Whatever. But then if we're going to do that, if we're going to put our tracks or put our digital tracks in the digital world, which are just going to be things that will attract people's attention to something, then we need to really make sure that we updated everything behind the scenes. You know, right the way through to get our website to the place that it should be. We need the mobile side of it to really be where it should be. And as we get into it, we'll see that, friends, we can do all those things, but we need His grace. We need a living testimony. We need prayer. We need His leadership, His burden and His guidance so we can put these things into His hands so that He can use them.
Amen.
When we're out there, we spoke about the ineffectiveness of tracts. Now, tracts maybe used to be quite effective in ages gone by, but tracts don't work very much anymore.
Amen.
You know, because the vast majority of people come to the Lord how? Through a process. God deals with them over time. It's almost once in a while you hear of it, but to really find someone that you can speak to say, how did you get saved? Through a tract. And that's hard. You never find somebody like that. You know, so you could put a lot of resources into something, but if you really think about the returns on that, maybe the returns aren't that great. Because God's most effective resource is God with skin on. That's the most important resource. So now a tract can be helpful. A tract can be a link. That's all that it can be. A tract can be a way to start a conversation because there's got to be relationship involved. You know, there's got to be some human interaction. There's got to be some present tense something because people are going to listen when you meet them at their point of need. That's how God deals with us. He meets you at your point of need. And something's effective when it meets you at your point of need. Now, for you to know all those people out there today, if you get out on the street, we've done it many times, what is their point of need? And then you find exactly the right tract, yeah, to minister exactly to their point of need. That's going to need a miracle. Yeah, that needs divine leadership. Now, just to scatter the tracts around, I mean, once in a blue moon, you may find that tract ministers to that need, but the vast majority of time it doesn't. That's why tracts are very, very ineffective in that. But if you can strike up a conversation with somebody, yeah, if you get into a place and a relationship that somebody starts to unveil themselves, yeah, and you have a fresh testimony, you in the spirit, and you start speaking to somebody and they, you know, God's already been dealing with them and they start to unveil, God can now meet them in their point of need.
Amen.
And that's what makes all the difference. That's now the right person, the right place, the right time. Something's going to happen now. Because that's the way that God has ordained us. So tracts in themselves are okay. But they just, they're not a means to an end. You know, they're just something to help you to get to where you're really wanting to get things to. They don't really work that much. It's mainly a burden. What's needed? Tracts can work if there's a burden. If you're really in prayer and you feel burdened to go and give somebody something at work, to go and give them a message book, that's wonderful. When there's that personal burden, that personal leadership. You know, I'll just read something. We spoke about it when we were there, about when they were at Azusa Street. And then how they used tracts once very effectively. Now this is, I really do believe, is a good principle that they used, those believers back there. This was 1906, April 15th. This is from Bartleman's diary, Azusa Street. It says, "The Lord called me to 10 days of special prayer. I felt greatly burdened, but had no idea of what he had particularly in mind. But he had a work for me and wanted me to prepare me for it." So it always starts with a burden. Redemption always starts with a burden. You'll see that. Somebody has to be burdened. There's got to be the burden because God has to work on both ends. If God is burdening somebody there who needs something, God's going to burden somebody over here to meet the need over there. It needs a burden. It's got to start with that. And this man, he just felt the Lord's calling me to 10 days of prayer. So he started to consecrate himself. That was the 15th of April. 18th of April, the terrible San Francisco earthquake came, which devastated the surrounding cities and country. No less than 10,000 lost their lives in San Francisco alone. So this was a great disaster that came 3 days later while the man's in the midst of prayer, really seeking the face of God. Yeah. He says, "I felt a deep conviction that the Lord was answering our prayers for a revival in his own way. Isaiah 26 verse 9, when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness." So a track can work if you strike at a certain season with something that's timely. When there's a crisis, a disaster, economic something, whatever's going on, yeah, and you get really inspired to do something that ministers to that question that's been raised. When there's a real question that people are asking and you present something which has an answer to that question, God's going to bless that. Because that's what he was trying to do here. So the man gets really into prayer. He says, "I found the earthquake had opened many hearts. I was distributing especially my previous track called The Last Call. It seemed very appropriate after the earthquake. I took 10,000 of these to the New Testament church and the workers seized them eagerly, scattered them quickly throughout the city." So they went to workers. You see, there were people that were fasting and praying and seeking the leadership of the Lord. And now the tract was another resource that was being fed to these people that already had a burden of evangelism. They were going to saloons. They were going to the prostitutes on the street. They were going to all these different places. And now you get a fresh something that God has inspired and you put it into the hands of somebody like that. Now there's potential for that to work. You know, something really can work. He says the question in almost every heart was, did God do that? The earthquake. Instinct taught men on the spot that he had. So they realized at that time that inside of a person, deep down inside, when God's judgment's in the earth like that, people are going to be uneasy. Just as much as the birds in India. Before the earthquake, they fled. Yeah. And the animals near the walls, they headed out into the middle of the field. There's an instinct, there's a buzzer inside of people that God has put there, and friends. In witnessing, that's your greatest ally. Amen. It's not a person's mind, it's not reasoning with somebody, but it's the conscience. Because the conscience will always bear record of truth. Unless a person has seared their conscience. But if a person still has a conscience, and God does something, or God says something, or God inspires you to say something, although they may reason it, they may try to argue with their lips, but something's happened inside of the heart.
Amen.
And when they were going around these people and witnessing, they could tell that, this earthquake has made some fertile ground here. Because people are starting to think of judgment. People are thinking about how God can judge in such an awesome way. Now you get amongst people like that, if you're in the spirit, you can start from there.
Amen.
You can start speaking about the last judgment. You can start speaking about the time of your visitation and all those different things. You know, so they really discern that at that time. So he says, even the wicked were conscious of the fact. The tract was set up quickly. The same day it was on the press. And the next noon, I had my first consignment of the earthquake tract. I was impressed. I must hasten and get them to the people as quickly as possible. I was reminded that the 10 days I'd been called by the Lord to pray was up the very day I received the first of the tracts. So there's always a purpose for a burden. There's always something that wants to be born from that burden. And it can be born in any manner of ways. And to this man, the Lord really laid it upon him, write a tract. That was the burden of the word of the Lord that was upon the man. That was, and after the 10 days now, the man has the tracts. So now they start to distribute them. He gives them to the workers. He says, May the 11th, I'd finished my earthquake tract distribution. The burden suddenly left me. My work was done. 75,000 had been published and distributed in Los Angeles in Southern California. And Brother Manley in Oakland, of his own volition, had printed and distributed 50,000 more. So in a short space of time, when the hearts of people, when the newspapers were on those things, when people's discussions and conversations were around this thing, and there were still aftershocks going on every day. Friend, you come with something fresh from the throne of God like that.
Amen.
Now it's interesting if you read the opposition they made, especially from churches. Ministers trying to say God isn't in earthquakes. Friends, you can't tell a message believer that God isn't in earthquakes. That's one of the pillars of the message. Los Angeles especially. You know, so they realize that no. We've got to get this out to people. To minister and witness to the consciences of people when people are already in this frame of mind. And it was powerful. And they took a lot of abuse, but it had a powerful effect in the lives of people. But what it did, it just opened it up. The tract in itself was not a means to an end. You couldn't just give someone the tract and leave it like that. It needed God with skin on to follow that up. When somebody came under conviction to answer those questions, to speak about the personal, how personally to apply what that tract was saying to your personal life. And then when they started to do that, it was very powerful. He says, the San Francisco earthquake was surely the voice of God to the people on the Pacific coast. It was used mightily in conviction for the gracious who were seeking after revival. No, and it really, really helped them. They'd been praying, seeking the Lord. The Lord visited them at Azusa Street. And just after, when the newspapers were all being critical of what was taking place at Azusa Street, there came the earthquake. Now all of a sudden, people with theories, fine. But when you're facing death, Yeah, when you're burying your relatives, your theory goes out the window. And your conscience speaks with a loud voice. And if you now can have the burden of the word of the Lord at that time to tap into that, you know, to use the wisdom and the leadership of the Lord to minister in that kind of a situation, that's when tracts can be very, very helpful things. But the vast majority of the time, you know, we know what it's like. You know, tracts just end up in the bin. Or does it end up on the street? You know, it doesn't really have any impact because it's not meeting someone at the point of need. It's not ministering something to the soul of a person, which is the question they're asking at that time. And that's why it's got to have the personal contact. The principle is, the prophet speaks of it, is the what is in your hand principle.
Amen.
Yeah. The what is in your hand principle. David's sling in itself was never going to defeat Goliath. Yeah, it was just something, a resource that he could use. But he had to put it into the hands of God. Amen. He had to be anointed. He had to be commissioned. He had to have a burden. And then when he came using those two little leather straps, yeah, and that little piece of leather at the bottom, when he took that which God had put in his hand, and he was commissioned and he was anointed to do it, and he took that little bit of something, it did a mighty thing.
Amen.
It brought forth a mighty testimony in Israel at that time. You know, so tracts are fine, but they've got to be put in the hands of God.
Amen.
And generally, they've got to originate from him. It's got to be something at the right place at the right time.
Amen.
It's got to be something seasonal in that kind of a way. You know, then maybe it can work. But Moses' staff in itself couldn't do anything. It couldn't open the Red Sea. It needed a man.
Amen.
It needed a man under a divine commission. It needed a man who had recently met the burning bush. It needed a man who had a fresh experience with God to take that natural something, and then something took place with it. Then when he took his staff, which he had had 40 years that had done nothing for him, but when he now took it and put it in the hands of God, it became a mighty tool of deliverance. You know, so it needs that. We can never get away from the fact that any witnessing has to be personal.
Amen.
It's got to be fresh. It's got to come from a fresh experience.
Amen.
That's going to have an effect now.
Amen.
It's got to originate with a burden that the Lord gives you. And friends, you'll never be disappointed by a divine burden. Never. God will never burden you and then discourage you after that. No, remember Nehemiah's burden. When he heard of his brethren down there and he felt burdened. Friends, the fact that he was burdened means that God is going to lead him to a solution.
Amen.
And he didn't realize that he was a big part of the solution himself.
Amen.
He wasn't just going to do something to minister to somebody else to be the solution. But the man that has the burden, the woman that has the burden, the brother, the sister, generally speaking, if God gives you the burden, he's the one who wants you to deliver the burden.
Amen.
So if you burden... I remember Brother Tony once. I just received a phone call on a Saturday. Brother Tony was in a taxi. And I just got a phone call saying, "Brother, I've just been testifying here to the taxi driver about the serpent seed. Yeah, you speak to him." And I thought, no, if you've got the burden, you speak to him. But it's easy to do that. We want to put the burden on somebody else. No, you get the burden. If the Lord opens a door for you, yes, other people can come and help to minister things down the way after that. But hey, friends, you don't want to be in that situation. You know, that you're caught there and you don't have the resources. You don't have the answers. You don't know what to say. Don't know what to do next. You know, and that's why he that wins souls is wise. You know, you start to learn those kind of things. Everything which you see that the prophet uses in that message, what is in thine hand? The little boy's lunch. That was something that was natural. It couldn't minister to many people. But when he took that, when he got burdened, that young boy, and felt, but hey, this isn't fair. I've got lunch and lots of people here don't have lunch. And he took that lunch and he gave it to Jesus. Jesus was looking for something to use. And now somebody gave him something to use, delivered something to use into his hand. And he now used that. And he did far beyond what that little boy ever dreamed possible with that lunch. And it can be the same with anything. If you've got a gift of music, put it into the hands of the Lord.
Amen.
You might put a song on YouTube and you might lead hundreds of people to the faith.
Amen.
Through that song, if God burdened you, if God anointed you,
amen.
Yeah, God is the one who knows how to direct that to the people.
Amen.
that he's burdened about. And that's why he gave you the burden, because he's burdened for somebody else. Amen. You know, whatever that it is that we have, whatever resources, whatever tools, whatever skills that we've got, if we get burdened for these things and put them in the hands of the Lord, Amen. That's amazing what God can use. Amen. God can use the most unexpected things sometimes to bring forth the most powerful of things. The prophet says, "And it is I, be not afraid." He says about the little boy, he says, Jesus said, "Have you any bread among you?" And they said, "We've got a little boy here that has his, a few loaves and fishes, about 5 loaves, 2 fish. He said, "Well, bring them here." Now, if you notice, in order to do something, Jesus taken something to do something with. Amen. That's a real principle, friends. He's got to take something. Amen. And he doesn't take something you don't have. It's something which you already got in your hand. Amen. And that's all that he said to Moses is, what is in your hand? Amen. And if you look inside of your own life, you know, you might look and say, but maybe I need to train for this. Maybe I need to do this. No. What is in your hand? Amen. What is, he's given you a mobile phone. Use it for the glory of God. Amen. No, he's given you a family. Use it for the glory of God. Amen. He's given you friends and associates in the different places where you work or you study. No, put yourself in the hands of God. He's already given you things which are close at hand. You don't even have to look very far for an opportunity to give him something to use, but it just needs a desire. It just needs a burden like a young man. The prophet says, I noticed last evening when the man that was blind was brought up to the platform and received his sight, that struck fire right away. You see, a fresh testimony will always generate more testimonies. No. When God does something, it's contagious. Amen. And when God does something in your life, it's contagious as well. Amen. That testimony doesn't just stop with you. It should Amen. Never just stop with you. Amen. That's not fair. How can you have a testimony and you don't share it with me? And you don't share it with the sons and daughters of God? That young boy had his lunch and he gave it to Jesus, and Jesus Amen. Fed everyone with a lunch. So that testimony can lead to deeper testimony, even greater testimonies. It can keep unfolding itself and unfolding itself, even if you're in the grave. And your testimony can continue to inspire and quicken and put life inside of the souls of people. And you, though you are dead, like Abel, he being dead, yet speaketh. You can still continue to speak, because that testimony, you put it out there. There's something really powerful about testimonies. Amen. He says, that struck fire right away. He says, that deaf woman that came, while I was yet holding her hand and asking the evil to leave her, she began quivering all over, and she said, I can hear you, I can hear you. And quickly it struck fire. And by the time I was leaving, the whole building seemed to be illuminated with God's presence. Jesus taken what faith the blind man had, or what faith the woman had that was deaf, and started with that building faith. See what I mean? He takes something to do something with. Amen. You might say, my testimony is small. Hey, that lunch was small. David's sling was very small. Says. The stone wasn't big, it was small. But because the man was anointed and commissioned, and God had determined at that time to reveal who he was Amen. Through that little man. His testimony still inspires us today. Amen. That testimony still goes forth. The instrumentality was small. It didn't take a lot of time for that to take place. But the effects of that are powerful. Amen. God took that and put it in his word and said, I'm going to be associated with this testimony. I want people down the way to be associated with this testimony. That's why it's good to give your testimony. It's good to give a testimony of what the Lord has done for you. You might say, but it's too small. Your something that you're going through might be exactly what's needed, like we said once before, for somebody else to cross the finishing line. A person's just about to get there, to get sufficient faith to break through something. And you get up and you just testify something, and that's the final little quickening they needed to push them over the line. And you might think it's a little testimony, but that might cause a far greater testimony. Amen. And if that person comes and testifies, I would imagine what it can continue to do. Not only here, not only in Jerusalem, but in Judea, Amen. In Samaria. And God can take that, and he knows how to spread it out to where it's supposed Amen. To go. He knows how to give wings to things such as that, because these are his works, and he wants his works to be made known. Because when you know of his works, friends, it really challenges you. When God does something for somebody else, like we were saying last week, you know, when somebody's really in the spirit of prayer and you're not in the spirit of prayer, and they get up early in the morning and you hear them already calling upon the name of the Lord, you're going to get out of bed now, no matter how tired you are, no matter how backslidden you are, and you're going to start to pray as well. Because that living something is going to speak to something inside of you. It's going to start to kindle something inside of you. You're going to start to say, but that's powerful. And if God is doing that for him or for her, why can't God do that for me? And that's the way that it goes. But you've got to take something and put it into his hands. Then he says the next principle. Now, in order for him, for Jesus to get something, someone had to surrender something. That's a simple thing, but it's true. Someone had to be willing to give up something. That young man was willing to give up his lunch. Yeah. Sometimes we need to give up our lunch. We need to fast. We need to give up our time. You know, whatever it is, what the Lord is leading you to do. But you can take something. But in order for him to use it, you need to give up something. Amen. And need to surrender it. And you need to put it in his hands. And then he can use it. He says, that little boy, he had to surrender his lunch. Now to the little lad, the lunch in the little boy's hand wasn't very much. He could only partially feed himself, perhaps. But once placed in the hands of Jesus, it fed 5,000. Now, maybe your faith is not very much. But if you, what little faith you've got, put it into his hands, it might cause a revival to break out here.
Amen.
Every revival started like that.
Amen.
It didn't start with something big. The Welsh revival, I can't remember her name. I think her name was Corrie Flowers or something. But the foundation, the very inception, the starting point of the Welsh revival was a youth meeting. Yeah, it was young people. They were quite backslidden. They weren't really walking with the Lord very well. And this one evangelist came, was trying to do youth, and he just sat with them and asked them a question. And he said, what does Jesus mean to you? That was the question. And then, well, he said like a question similar to that. And the first one said, you know, well, Jesus is the Savior of the world. And the second one answered in general way. And then this girl stood up. And she had had a recent visitation from the Lord in her soul. And she got up and she said, I love him with all my heart and I love him with all my soul. And the Holy Ghost fell. And something started. And from there, those youth now went to the next church, their sister church, and went and inspired those youth in the soul. And then God raised up Evan Roberts. And that's how the Welsh revival started. But it just took one something, one fresh testimony. Somebody had something that was real and they spoke it out. And it pleased the Lord. And that started the whole Welsh revival. Now God obviously had prepared a lot of other people and a lot of things behind the scenes so that when things started off, there were people to step in and, you know, to keep the thing going. But that's how it started. The prophet says, in God's hands, it's wonderful what he can do with such little. It's a powerful thing. And does he not desire? He delights to do that. He delights to use the simplest of things to confound the mighty, to confound the wise. Now he can take just a simple something, you know, that people will just overlook. And God can take that to declare himself. He can hide himself in simplicity and then reveal himself in the same. But it just needs someone to really desire to do it. So for any kind of witnessing, like I say, three things have to come together. The right person, the right place, and at the right time. And that's why for us to be effective anyway, we're going to have to be led of the Spirit. Because sons of God are led of the Spirit. You've got to be there at the right time. It's got to be the right people that are there. Because God has ordained. God never ordained just anybody to witness to you. Before the foundation of the world, God witnessed one person to witness to you. That's how it was. That was the vision, because we're speaking of redemption. This is not something that started here. This started in his mind before the foundation of the world. So part of this great vision of redemption, yeah, which is sealed up in the book of redemption. When God before the foundation of the world thought of you, he thought of you in a certain place, at a certain time. And he thought of a certain person that he was going to send to you at that time. And he would have prepared you before that time. So that you were ready at the time. God's never going to send somebody to you if they're not ready. If you're not ready at that time. That's not part of the vision. Every part of the vision must be in place. Then see how redemption will unfold itself. Amen. And if you think how God brings people to the right place, it's powerful. Amen. We spoke of some of them last week. God can, you'll think it's a misfortune inside of your life. You'll have a flat tire with your car. Yeah. Or you meet somebody along the way, you know, who's broken down with their car. You know, there's lots of different things that can take place to bring you in contact with that person at that time. So many things. You think of Ruth and Naomi. God was great. However, was Ruth going to hear the truth being a Moabite? She's living in Moab. Not the Moabite pagan gods and so forth. So this man has to make a real bad decision. Ahimelech. He has to backslide. Leave the promised land. Go all the way down to Moab. Come with his boys. Then his boys marry Ruth and Orpah. And although he was backslidden, I don't think Naomi was. Because it wasn't the testimony of his life that ministered to Ruth. There was something in Naomi's life that ministered to Ruth. There was something real inside of her. In order to bring forth her testimony, listen to what the prophet says in the message Elijah. He says, salt is a savor. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. Naomi was salty. Though she was in a foreign land. Though she wasn't in the land of promise. But she was salty enough, yeah, to make both of her daughter-in-laws thirsty for Jehovah. My. That's why there's got to be a contact. The prophet says salt can only be salty if there's a contact. That can never be just give a tract and leave a person. That's fine. That'll start something, but then there's got to be contact. Amen. You know, that's the way that it's got to be. He says, salt is a savor if it contacts. You have a piece of meat here and a barrel of salt here. You've got to get them together. The salt to the meat or the meat to the salt to preserve the meat. And that's the way it is. We've got to get the believer with the unbeliever. My boss at work on Friday, it was very interesting Friday afternoon. We're having a conversation in the office. Because this one girl's a Catholic, and then her sister-in-law married a Protestant. And he's a minister, and he came to live in Cavan, and he started his church. So they were complaining about something. I said, guys, what are you guys speaking about? They said, Andrew, we're going to ask you this question. He said, my sister-in-law, yeah? She married a Protestant. Now, it's their daughter is having a birthday party this weekend. So we thought, very good. We told our children, we're going to go down to the birthday party. So we phoned up. He says, so my daughter, I think she's young, she's 7, whatever, phoned the daughter of those people in Cavan. It was also 7. I said, how can we come down to the party? He said, no, it's only for people that are saved. My. I said, we need to be another millennium to evangelize Ireland if it's going to be like that. They said, what do you think about that? I said, hey, Jesus was criticized for one thing, for being a friend of sinners. Jesus went right down to the tax collectors and the sinners. He didn't wait for them to come to him. Hey, he says, no, it's not the people that are well that need the doctor. It's the people that are sick that need the doctor. My friends, we must never get like that. But we can become very exclusive. You know, no, we have our little group. You know, those are them out there and we here. No. Evangelism breaks those barriers. Evangelism takes you. The salt must go to the place that salt is needed. There's got to be a contact. And if it means that God's going to have to allow a man to backslide and go down all the way to Moab, his two sons pass away, in order to get to his daughter Ruth that was there, to bring her into the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's amazing the things that he can do to move people from place to place. Amen. Did you expect to be here today? I never did. Why are you here? You think it was the economy from Zimbabwe that brought you here? It wasn't the economy. It was a divine plan. Because there's still people that you're supposed to come in contact with here. There's still some people that need to be made thirsty by the salt of your current Christian witness and experience. Your Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever experience makes people thirsty if they're ordained unto life. And that's why God, He can shake kingdoms. He can. You think in the days of Babylon, yeah? God wanted to get His people, Israel, back into the promised land. What did He do? He brought down the entire Babylonian empire and brought Cyrus, the Persians, in. Because Cyrus was anointed to say, you people are free. God has commissioned me. Go and build Him a house. God can change empires, kingdoms. When the historians are focusing on all those things, God's not worried about that. God just sees that this Babylonian empire is standing in the way of my sons and daughters coming to where they're supposed to be. God will break it down. God can change economies. God can bring earthquakes. God can bring pestilences and plagues. God can bring economic hardship in the lives of people to move them from one place to another. And you will think, but hey, this isn't fair. He took a cruel-hearted king the first Christmas, yeah? Herod. The prophet says a cruel-hearted king made a decree saying, I don't care even if a mother's expecting. She must go to the place of her husband's birth. Why? Because if he had not made that decree, Jesus would have been born where? In Nazareth. He would have been born in Nazareth. But the decree came, and then Joseph and Mary were saying, this isn't good at this time. This is such a disruption. Oh, we have to move now. And they get to Bethlehem just in time for Jesus to be born to fulfill exactly what the word had spoken of him. Amen. Nothing happens to a believer by chance. God is behind every move, the prophet says. God is behind every move. And if you get in the spirit, you'll start to understand it. Paul and Silas are only understood after the event. Why they had to be whipped and beaten and spend the time in the stocks. But when they were baptizing that man and his family, they were saying, how great thou art. We would never ever have come in contact with this man to make this man thirsty. But their attitude under trial, their worship in the prison, it was salt. And the man became thirsty and he says, what shall I do to be saved? Now we can bring it on the other foot. What is the greatest enemy of evangelism? Is hypocrisy. Is you and I not living what we believe? You and I wanted to jump higher than we live. Oh, friends, let's not do that. That's the greatest stumbling block. We all fall short. Naomi fell short. But God has made it in such a way that His redemptive word is so powerful, yeah, that even though we hold this treasure in earthen vessels, though we have our humanity, many times it gets in the way. But there was sufficient reflection of truth to Ruth to make her make the greatest decision in the Bible. The greatest proclamation. Look what she said. Entreat me not to leave you. Because where you go, I'm going. Yeah. Your God's going to be my God. Your people are going to be my people. Where you die, I'm going to die. Where you buried, I'm going to be buried. Nothing will separate us. What caused that to come about? Friend, Naomi wasn't some powerful prayer warrior who won the whole city to the Lord. She didn't. Maybe she wasn't ordained to do that. She was just sent down there for a purpose. And even Orpah got caught up in it. You find when people stay together with unbelievers. We did it when we were in Crumlin that time. We stayed together with different people. James remembers. And almost every single person who comes and stays, they'll make a profession for the Lord. They will. They're like Orpah, many of them. Even if they're not really ordained to go all the way in the message of the hour. But just when believers, even with our own faults and failings, because I mean, all of us have our good days and our bad. But there's sufficient, if you're just sincere as a believer, if you just believe what you believe, yeah, and you just, if you make a mistake, you say sorry. Yeah, you're humble and so forth. There's sufficient witness in that to make anybody near you thirsty. Amen. Like we said on Friday, you go to work, you go to your college, walk into a room, the conversation changes. Amen. It's true. Amen. They don't swear anymore. Or if they do, they say sorry. Amen. You're the salt of the earth. Amen. Yeah. Amen. You make a difference wherever you preserve things. If you're in a certain place, you'll preserve those people in your sphere of influence from blaspheming too much, from sinning away their day of grace and so forth. You'll preserve them from a lot of things just by your presence there. You may not realize the power of a Christian testimony. But it's true. In your neighborhood, watch how people be watching you. You may not even think it, friends, but they do. They watch. They do. The people that you had college with, those young people. That's why never be a hypocrite. Always stand for what you believe. Even if they laugh at you at first, the benefits come down the way. Don't compromise, you young people. Stand for what you believe. Stand for the Lord. The greatest thing you can testify of is Jesus. That is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's never changed. That's the greatest thing that you can testify about, is about Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I'm a disciple of Jesus. They might say all things about church, religion. Say, I'm not interested in church and religion. I'm speaking to you about Jesus. I'm speaking to you about He who is the way, the truth, and the life. And see how it'll help them. That stand you take helps them while you're around. Because that's what salt does. Salt preserves. It keeps things from getting further corrupted. You put salt in, it stops the corruption. And that's why, friends, when the bride's taken away from this world, it comes to a tribulation. Amen. It falls apart. You may think that you have no influence, but in the eyes of God, it's great. That's great, the influence that we have. Listen to what he says in the message, Elijah, when he continues on. He says, salt also makes thirsty, doesn't it? God wants his church so salty till the whole world would thirst to be like them. That's right. Just think, oh, if I could only live the way that woman lives. She's the sweetest, peaceful person. Never out of humor. Never is fussy. She's always kind, trying to do something to help somebody else. Why, she's a credit to any man's church. Imagine if that could be our testimony. Just think, that man, he's a neighbor. He's a gentleman. He's just so full of the love of God. You can see him all hours of the night on his knees praying. All is ready to go and do something. All is talking about the Lord Jesus and his mercy. The prophet says, that's the way to make the world salty. Act like that. Now Elijah was that kind of a person. Elijah made a difference in his day. And you'll make a difference in your little realm where you are as well. It does make a big difference. But you've got to be in the right place at the right time. So there's different ways of evangelizing. We know that. There's different methods. There's different giftings that God has put inside of his people. There's different talents. There's certain people that are bold. They can get out there and speak boldly like John the Baptist did. They can say to Herod, it's not lawful for you to have her. Yeah, there's certain people that are made. Not everyone can do that, friends. You know, when your boss does something wrong, you're going to, it's not right, you shouldn't have married her. You know, that's what John did. And it cost him his head, but God has to have people like that. But there's other people that are salty. There's other people that spread an influence. There's certain people, there's a fragrance that they leave, even when they leave the room. There's a certain type of a fragrance which they have. I read that quote on Friday about Moody when he went to the barbershop. It's a very good one to me. My. You know, it was taken from the memoirs of Woodrow Wilson, who was the president of America. But before he became president, he went to the barbershop. He said, I went to the barbershop. He said, I was sitting in a chair. He says, and then I felt some great personality come walking in. He says, and he walked in and he came and he sat next to me. He said, and I could tell by the way that he spoke. He started speaking to the man that was cutting his hair. Everything he said to that person, I could tell he meant what he said. He felt for that man. Amen. He says, and then I started to realize who it was, and I realized that although the man hadn't preached, I'd been in an evangelistic service. He says, and when the man got up and walked out, although the people in that barbershop didn't know who he was, Dwight Moody, he says, even when he left, he says, I watched to see the way people were. He says, people were now speaking quietly. Hey. He says, it had changed. People could feel something was, something had elevated their thoughts to a higher level. He says, and when I left that building, I left saying, this is the way I should leave when I've been to a religious service. Oh, to live that kind of a life, friends. Amen. Obviously, the man was prayed up for his evangelistic services. You know? The prophet speaks about Charles Finney going into a factory. Just when he's having evangelistic meetings, they took him to take a tour of a factory. And there are these other girls that were sitting on a sewing machine. They started to laugh about him and giggle. And Charles Finney, because he was so prayed up, he just turned and looked at them. And then that girl now, she tried to put her thread through the needle. And she couldn't. And her hand started to tremble. And then she started to cry and she started to weep. And then the next girl started to weep. And the next girl started to weep. And then the owner of the factory had to stop the factory. And Charles Finney preached to the people. And the revival started from there. It was just a man that was so salty. A man that had been prayed up, that had a living personal experience at that time. Now there's something about that. Let's finish up with this thought. Let's bring it together. When the prophet mentioned it the other day about when the prophet went to Milltown, just to show in this testimony how there's so many different avenues and things that the Lord uses to get his job done. Now, so this is in the message, The Life of Demons and Visions. It's 1951. And the prophet speaks, and the first time he speaks about the time he went to Milltown. And he says, I was at my mother's house. I was going to stay there all night. I'd been praying for the sick, but I just couldn't rest. He said, did you ever have those restless nights? Be careful if you're a Christian, that might be God dealing with you. And I'd got up and I was walking around. It was in the middle of the night. And I got a burden. It always starts with a burden, friends. Redemption always starts with a burden. And the burden comes between you and the Lord. You've got to be praying. You've got to be waiting upon the Lord. There's got to come a burden upon you. Then it's got to start to unfold itself. You may not know exactly how to unfold the burden, but the one who gave you the burden knows how to unfold the burden now. He knows how to do it. So I got down, but I couldn't pray through. And so, you try to pray. And then he says, and I turned around and I saw the washing sitting on the chair and where my mother had laid the clothes. And it looked like something white. It was like a white cloud. And he thought it was a clothes at first. And then it started coming towards him. And then it came into him. And then the prophet was in a vision. And he says, and in a few moments, I was walking down through a wilderness country. And I could hear a lamb bleating, going, bah, bah. Did you ever hear a little lamb cry? Ah, friend, if you and I could hear the little lambs cry. And realize that the little lamb's crying is more important than a lot of other things which you put a lot of emphasis on. But he heard the little lamb cry. A little lamb bleating. He says, it's the most pitiful thing in the world. And it was bleating. And I said, that poor little thing. I'm going to see if I can find it. That's all is the determination. When the Lord puts a burden upon you, you may not know why. I said, but I'm going to see if I can find the source of this burden. I'm going to see, why is it that I'm feeling like this these days? Why isn't it that I'm feeling when I'm at the office, at the factory, at college, whatever? Why am I feeling at lunchtime that I should go in there and start to speak to people? You never know. Now that's how it starts with the burden. So I started up, he's in the vision, towards the brush and stuff. And as I got close to it, it wasn't a lamb, it was a human. It was calling, saying, Milltown, Milltown. I'd never heard of the place in my life. So I went to church the following Wednesday night and I said, does anybody know where Milltown is? And nobody knew. You see how it starts, friends. It never just goes smooth. You're never going to go and say, brother, do you know where Milltown is? Yeah, oh, I know Milltown. And so you're going to say, I don't even know where that is. Never heard of the place. So then Sunday night, you see, you've got to persevere. He knows the Lord's given him a burden. He knows there's something about Milltown. So then Sunday night I announced, does anybody know where Milltown is? And Brother George White, he said, Brother Bram, it's about 35 miles down southern here. I live close to it. I said, I'll come down next Saturday. God wants me to go to Milltown. There's somebody there who's in trouble. So we went down. I went to the grocery store where the street corner turned. And I thought, I wonder what the Lord wants of me. You see, he's trying to find the open door. He's trying to find some way for that the Lord's going to open it to him. But it's not going to open straight away. Same like us, friend. When you want to do something for the Lord, it's not going to open straight away. Wonder what the Lord wants of me. So I went in and I bought a box. And I came out and I thought, I'll preach right here on the corner. He's going to stand on the box and preach. Street evangelism. Because it's worked for him many times before. So I got up on the box, but I couldn't think of anything to preach about. You see, he's the one who opens doors and he's the one who closes doors. And you just keep knocking and you just keep trying and after all something's going to open. And then you try this and that close and something else is going to open. And that's the way that he leads his children. But it's never just so easy. It's hardly going to be that he's going to come to you and give you a dream and say, Brother James, go to Blanchardstown Center Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock, and speak to a certain person. It can happen, but it doesn't happen like that very often. Instead, you'll be in prayer and you'll be burdened. And then you'll be driving your bus near Blanchardstown and you'll just feel, but hey, I've got a couple of minutes here. Let me pray. And then you'll pray and then somebody will get on the bus. And as they get on the bus, you just feel something strange towards that person. You know, and they've got on the bus early. The bus is only going in 5 minutes' time. And then you strike up some sort of a conversation. The Lord opens it up from there. Yeah. That's the way that it always works. It works in that kind of a way. So, I couldn't think of anything to preach. So, Brother Wright said, I'm going up the hill to do a little trading. He's going to go and sell his eggs. See how God even uses the eggs. Brother Bram, I've got to take some eggs up there to a man. Do you want to ride up with me? I said, yes. And as you drove up, there was a big white church standing up on a hill. And I said, say, isn't that a lovely church? He said, pity about that church. The Baptist pastor got in some trouble. The church went down. Never had a pastor since. The rest of the people went to other churches. And the city's taken it over. And I felt the Spirit of God tell me, stop. And I went over there. And the door was locked. Friends. If the Lord wants you to do something, He's going to open the door. Amen. If the door stays locked, that's not where you're supposed to be. Amen. And he gets to the door of the church. He feels the Lord's led me to the church, but the door's locked. And I said, you go ahead, Brother Wright. You come back and pick me up after a while. And after he was gone, I knelt down there and prayed. My, you got to stay in the Spirit. You got to seek the next thing that it is that you need to do. You know, I've come to the right place, but how's He going to open up beyond this place here? And I said, Lord, if you want me in this church, unlock these doors for me. And we can say the same thing. Say, Lord, I'm burdened about this person. If you want me to testify to this person, open the way for me. Amen. Open it up, Lord. Unlock the door. I've tried many times speaking in this place, but it's never opened up. Lord, you need to unlock the door for me. Amen. Because He is the one who opens and no man can shut when He opens. So while I was praying, I got up and I heard somebody coming. It was a man walking around. He said, hello. I said, how do you do? He said, I saw you were praying. I said, yes, I'm a preacher. I was praying here on the steps. He says, do you want to go in? I said, yes, sir. He said, I've got the keys. That's nice when life's like that, isn't it? I've got the key. I said, thank you, Lord. All you believe in that, yes, sir, He's real. And He opened the door for me. And I went in there. Could seat about 300-400 people. And I said to him, I wonder if I could have a revival here. He said, you'll need to see the city officials. So I went down to the city officials. They said, sure, if you'll put a meter in. I said, I work for the public service. I'll do it myself. I put the meter in and announced around there that I was going to have a revival. He's used flyers, posters. He's tried some way. He's going to let people know there's going to be a meeting. But that's not the end in itself. There's a burden. It started with a burden. There's leadership. Something's unfolding itself. So what's he going to use? Every resource that he possibly can. He's going to go up and put revival services. And they did. He says, George Wright went and put, come and see the next Billy Sunday. Come and see the young Billy Sunday. You know, such and such a day, revival meetings. And prayer for the sick. And that was the wrong thing because that town didn't believe in prayer for the sick. If you read the story. So, we announced it. And I'll never forget the first man that I asked. So the prophet says, hey, the Lord's really opening this up wonderfully. Let me go and speak to people on the street and invite them to come for the revival. He says, I never forget the first man I asked. I said, we're going to have a revival. Will you come? He said, say, we raise chickens around here. Haven't got any time to go to church. It's going to be discouraging, friends. There's going to be a lot of things that have come in the way. But you've got to be perseverant. Amen. Young people need to be perseverant these days. Amen. We give up too easily. If you're feeling to do something for the Lord, remember that Syrophoenician woman who came, yeah? What was the first thing she had to go through? The disciples. The disciples said, chase this woman away from us. She's bothering us. If you want to do something for the Lord, sometimes it's going to be disciples in this church who are going to discourage you. Amen. And if you're going to put it down and say, I'm not going to do that anymore, don't give in like that. Amen. The Lord was testing your reaction to an action. He's testing to see whether this is really something you're going to follow through. And then now she comes and she says, you know, son of David, whatever, yeah? Jesus answers her not a word. But she still perseveres. Then he says, I didn't come for you. I came for the lost sheep of the children of Israel. And she still perseveres because there's a burden. Because what's inside of her didn't start with her. God was the one who started, and he who began the good work is going to complete it. But just allow her to go through the process, the birth pains that it's going to have to go through. It's never really going to be easy. And that's how we need to encourage one another in these things. Especially on evangelism and that. Because friends, you meet some critics out there. You may get a fist to the jaw. You may get a bloody nose. You may get thrown on the street. I've got still wounds on my hands from somebody when he went to testify at Brother Robert's house, when Brother Robert came to the Lord. And he went there to testify to him. And while we're testifying to him and his wife, one of his relatives, a gypsy guy, came in. And he told me, what are you doing here? And I said, I've come to testify about the Lord. He says, we Catholics, you leave this place. I said, I'm not leaving this place. These people invited me. And the guy took a knife. Came wanting to kill me. And Brother Robert had to wrestle the man. And the man threw the knife at me and went through my finger. The next day, Brother Bishop went back. I didn't go back. I really respected Brother Bishop going back the next day. It's not that easy the next day. Because he threw the knife. And as the knife came, I just jumped out the way. And as I went out the way, it cut through my finger. Like in the movies where it goes in the door. It was like that. But hey, friends, after about a week, you feel okay and you continue doing it again. But you'll always have those kind of things. You'll always have things when they come in the way. So he says, we raise chickens here. So we started a revival. What did they do? They had special meetings. It wasn't just normal church. They advertised it. They're trying to reach the lost. Yeah, there's the evangelist, the prophet. Other people are inviting. Come, we're going to have 4 nights of revival meeting. You know, they're trying to start something in the place. We started a revival. Oh, I went out and prayed in the woods. And the Lord gave me a great message. I was just burning in my heart to deliver it. I said, oh, we'll probably have a big crowd here tonight. Maybe the Lord wants me to hold a revival. And I got down there. You know who was there? George Wright, his wife, and his son, and his daughter. Nobody had come. It can be disappointing like that. But see it through, friends. See it through. I had 4 in the congregation. But I preached the message the Lord had given me just the same. Amen. And the next night, they had 5 people. 4 people the first night. There was an odd-looking fellow walked up to the outside. They told me he was a backslidden Nazarene. He had a corn cob pipe in his mouth. And he knocked it out on the side of the building and all the ashes went on the church step. Hair hanging down in his face, tooth out on the side. And he looked in there and said, where's that little Billy Sunday they're talking about in here? How did he hear about it? Maybe someone gave him a leaflet. It can work. It's a link. It's a bridge. Somebody told him there's a special meeting come. Mr. Wright went back and got him and set him down. I was up there reading the Bible behind the pulpit. Brother Wright came up and said, the hardest boiled fellow there is in the country just walked in. He's a real rip snorter. I'm sure that means something in those places. He's a rip snorter. He's a serious hard boiled egg of a character, this one here. It's amazing. God likes to start with the hard cases sometimes. You and I are like the disciples, friends, when they were given the Great Commission. They wanted just to stay in Jerusalem. They didn't want to go to those Gentiles out there. It's like Jonah, he didn't want to go to Nineveh. He didn't mind, Lord, tell me anything you want me to say to them. I'll even maybe go to Samaria if you want, but no further than that. But sometimes when the Lord wants something done, he'll send you to the hardest case. He'll send you to someone who's a drug addict. Someone who's the worst sinner in the city, like the prophet preaches about. And that's where he starts his work, because what a testimony it's going to have. But you and I, we're sometimes looking for the easy way. We want things to start off easy. That's not the way that it works. Let's bring it to a close. So he came in. I said, maybe that's the one the Lord's after. So I got to preaching. Brother Wright went back to him and said, do you want to move up front? He said, I'll take care of things back here. You going up and take care of things up there. But as the meeting came on, he got closer and closer. And when the service closed, he was kneeling at the rail crying out to God. Amen. He's my associate pastor down there now, Amen. Bill Hall. A few nights later, because what Bill Hall did, it doesn't say it in here, but you can get it from other messages. Bill Hall now went to his company. It was now a family event. He went to his family and he testified and he went to his company and spoke to his employees. And the next night he brought about a dozen of them. And then some people got healed. And the next night more people came until they almost filled the building and had to have another revival meeting. But in the midst of all of that now, George Wright went to do something and he came back and said, Brother Bram, I think I know who was in the vision. Her name's Georgie Carter. She's a girl who's been lying on her bed for 9 years and 6 months, whatever, hasn't been able to get up, dying with TB. She got you a little book called Jesus Christ the Savior Stay Today. See, like a tract. Somehow the Lord, because she couldn't get to where the word was, God brought something to her. Somebody gave her a booklet. And she read about those present day testimonies that the prophet had put inside of there. And something started to burn inside of her soul. And she started to pray to say, Lord, please, this man, if you can just send him to pray for me, I'll be healed. She's not able to leave her house. And her parents were Church of Christ and they didn't believe in divine healing. And the Church of Christ minister came and said, if anybody goes down to those meetings with that little Billy Sunday guy, you'll be excommunicated from the church. Friends, there was a lot of opposition. But finally it started to open up. And finally he got an invitation. He went down there. So he says, so I went in to see her. And the poor little thing had my little book laying there. Our friends, God can use many ways. Anything that you commit into his hands, he can use it for his glory. But what was the book? It was a link between the girl and the gift. That was what was needed to point her in the right way. And she got this book and she had seen in the paper, the newspaper, where another girl had been healed when I'd been sent by a vision. And so, he prayed for her. And she said, Brother Branham, have a vision for me like you did for that nail girl. And he said, I can't do that myself. All I can do is pray for you. But I believe that God will heal you. But I'm going to have another revival in 2 weeks' time and I'll come back and see you again. So even the first time he prayed for her, she wasn't healed. And the prophet prayed for her and she stayed sick. And then 2 weeks later, he comes back, has another revival meeting, is arranging a big baptism service. And Georgie Carter's praying in her bedroom saying, Lord, please, if you'll heal me today, I'll go and be baptized with the rest at Totten Ford. And the Lord doesn't heal her. And her mother's now getting so frustrated because she's getting so worked up emotionally, this girl. And her mother gets down now on her knees and prays and says, Lord, this imposter who came to the city, look what he's done to my daughter. And she breaks into a vision, the mother, Church of Christ. And in the vision, she sees a man's shadow coming first, and it comes, and first it's Jesus. And Jesus says to her, look who's coming. And then she sees a man coming, holding his Bible. It was Brother Branham. Now, just before the mother has the vision, the prophet now baptizes all these people, 50 people, whatever. And then he's been taken back to have something to eat at George Wright's place, and has to come back to the church in the evening for a meeting. He gets it. George Wright says, we'll have some food. He says, no, I'm feeling burdened. I need to go and pray. There's still something the Lord wants me to do. And they say, okay, we'll ring the bell when it's dinner time and you come in because we don't want to be late for the church service. So the prophet gets out there. Now listen to what he says about when he went to pray. He says, I went down there and I knelt down. Did you ever feel like, you know, the briars are sticking into you and the floor is too hard? There's a lot of things come in the way. Did you ever have that? That's the time to press on. That's the devil trying to keep you from it. Just move right on. As long as you're doing right, you can't be doing wrong. So as long as you know you're in the vision, as long as you know the burden didn't come from me, I'm not trying to glorify myself. I'm just wanting to do something for the Lord. He's leading me. Things have unfolded to where they are. Friend, no matter what discouragements come, just keep pressing on. Amen. Amen. Just keep pressing on. And I just kept on praying. And the wind blew. And a sticker hit me in the face, a thorn. And I just said, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
And I kept on praying. And after a while, I got lost in the Spirit. Did you ever get lost in the Spirit?
Amen.
He says, excuse me for talking fast, but I just got lost. I didn't hardly know where I was. And they started to ring the bell for the dinner, but I didn't hear them. I was just praying, saying, thank you, Lord, for the goodness. And then I opened my eyes, and shining down through a little dogwood bush there was a light. Kind of emerald green, yellowish light shining down on me. And a voice spoke, a great deep voice, and said, go by the way of Carters.
Amen.
And the prophet went, and the girl was healed.
Amen.
And it started a move in that city. And then they appointed Bill Hall as the pastor. And great things were done. But how did it start? It started with a simple burden.
Amen.
A simple burden. The prophet says, what is in your hand? He says, if you have something in your hand, it's natural. It may be a sling. It may be a little boy's lunch. It may be a staff. He says, but by putting it into his hands, he knows how to take the natural and turn it into supernatural.
Amen.
To get his job done. Just a challenge, friends, for us to think inside of our lives. Think inside of your home. Think inside of your community. Just think of the opportunities maybe that there are. And why not lay yourself before the Lord this week and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. I just want to make myself available to you. Lord, I want to be used of you. Lord, I want something fresh. I want something that's real. Oh, Lord, you've done something for me. Give me an opportunity to share this with somebody else. Give me an opportunity to take this flame so maybe it'll kindle in the life of somebody else as well. And friends, you take what's natural. You take a tract. You take a testimony. You take whatever it is that you've got. Put it into his hands. He's the one who turns it now to something supernatural. And then something unfolds itself. And it's a wonderful thing. There's nothing more blessed than being used of the Lord. There's nothing more blessed than seeing someone come to the Lord. There's nothing more blessed than you being used, like say, Brother James was speaking to Brother Nat. And then you see someone being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you look and you say, but Lord, what a wonderful thing that this is. Before there was a world, before there was time, you knew my name. You knew his name. You knew his thoughts. You knew my thoughts. You brought us together. It's a wonderful thing, friends. And he knows your name. Let's stand.
Amen.
Let's sing that song. He knows my name. As we had come to the baptism. We'll just give the testimony of the one brother in Zimbabwe had a real gift of testifying. And the one time, I think, I can't remember exactly how many it was. Because the number keeps getting bigger each time people tell it, you know. but I think it was, maybe it was 17 or so. This brother had such a gift of testimony. He came to church one Sunday when I was there. I think it was 17 new people he brought with him. Ah, friends. You think the Lord won't bless a soul like that? You think you won't have a time in a service like that? How wonderful. Just think of it. Send me the Lord challenge us.
I have a maker before my Before even time began, my life was in his hand. He knows my name. He knows. seeds, it seeds each tear that falls, and hears me when I call.
Oh, I have an anchor.
I have an anchor.
He's in my life. He plays me in this world.
My faith he'll see me through. Oh, he knows. He knows my name. I
Wow, it seems that's a wonderful request. It's a wonderful pledge. Is anybody here today who wants to make that pledge? Just say, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. And your desires that he might be glorified in you. Now, the start of it all is a burden. And you just allow that burden to bring forth. And you just keep on following that burden. And there's going to be many things to disappoint you. Because the enemy's got to do his job, friends. You can't expect when he sees something in you. The devil can sense and discern something spiritual happening in you. Do you think he's not going to counterattack when the Lord is now on the attack? When the Lord is on the move? When the Lord wants to bring deliverance? When the Lord wants to bring salvation? You think there's not going to be a reaction either way? But friend, when the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise a standard. And you just keep pushing on and see how he quickens you. And see how he opens the way. And see how it becomes clearer and clearer until his will is done. Oh, if that's your desire, why not raise your hand to the Lord today and say, Lord,
amen.
I put myself into your hands.
Hallelujah.
I might not have a little boy's lunch. I might not have a staff.
Amen.
But Lord, I put my soul, I put my all into your hands. Use whatever it is, Lord, that you can use.
Amen.
And Lord, my talents and my experiences and my testimonies and all that you've invested in me, I just want to bring these things back. And I just want to put them in your hands and say, Lord, receive the return on your investment. Quicken me, Lord. Renew me, Lord. If you need a new testimony, if you need a new experience with the Lord, why not seek him now? Why not say, Lord, I want to testify and be a true witness. I want to be a witness of something's real and something that's fresh. Lord, I'm tired of testifying about last year and when I got saved and when I met the Lord and when you brought me to the message. Lord, I really want something fresh and I want something real so that I can bear witness of something and be a true witness. I believe he'll give it to you because you're asking for his glory. Whatever you need, let's pray. Let's seek his face before we come to the baptism. And even if you can't do anything else, just pray. Say, Lord, I'm not very good at speaking to people. You can pray for people that are good at speaking to people. Every one of us has a part in this great plan, friends. Let's just yield ourselves to him. Let's call upon the name of the Lord. Oh, Father, I wait.
Lord, shut silence at a time like this, Lord. Father, when, Lord, Father, one of your children enter even into the waters of life, oh God, Father, that baptism, Lord, precious Savior, Lord, a symbolic, Lord, Father, resemblance of what you said we should do, Lord, Father, even Lord God. Lord, Father, let's go out, witness, bring Lord Savior, Father, Lord, people to know of thee, teach them thy way, oh God, and Lord, baptize them in that name, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank thee for your kindness. We thank thee, Lord, even in thy goodness, Lord. What a blessed thing, Lord, even for us to witness this day. Our brother taking, Lord, Father, a solemn decision, Lord, with his family, Lord, Savior. Jesus, Father, let these things never, Lord, Savior, Father, oh God, Lord, Father, just become a casual affair. But let it always, Lord, Savior, have such, Lord, Savior, Father, a fearful experience for us, Lord, and such an experience, Lord, whereby, Lord, Father, we as your children, like when we were, Lord, Savior, we take it, Father, Lord, every baptism to be such, Lord, a Father, humbling experience, Lord, Father, to see, Lord, the young, Lord, Savior, receiving, Lord, Christ, Lord, Savior, Father, even in baptism, Lord, we commit, Lord, Savior, this day before thee, Lord, our brother, not, Lord, Father, Lord, his family, Lord, Savior, God, let this, Lord, Savior, Father, outward appearance, this, Lord, Savior, Father, symbolic, Lord, Savior, this is the Lord, Savior, also, Father, have such an effect in his life, Lord, that wherever he be, Father, may he testify of the great I am. Wherever, Lord Savior, he go, may his life, Lord Savior, now be a glow, Lord Savior. May Christ be, Lord Savior, dwelling amidst him, Lord. That, Lord, Father, he would, Lord Savior, become, Father, oh precious Savior, a living testimony, Lord, an eyewitness, even of, Lord Savior, these things that thou hast done, even in this day, Father.
Lord Jesus, Lord Savior, we look to thee, Lord. Bless us, Lord Savior, who have been here for long. Let us never be like, Lord Savior, the man who came, Lord Savior, from the sea, Lord Savior. He took it as a casual thing, Lord. But when he met, Lord, Father, the new convert, Lord, he was so excited and so fired up, Lord Savior. Let these things always, Lord, Father, have such, Lord Savior, Father, a greatness, Lord, to our hearts, Lord, and us have such a burden for the lost, Lord Savior, Lord. For there's much, Lord Savior, work to be done, much land to be conquered, Lord. But who, Lord Savior, Father, will go? Father, we desire for, Lord Savior, us to be like Isaiah. We would say, Lord, send me, Lord Savior. Send me, Lord, even upon Lord, this, Lord Savior. Great Lord Savior, commission that you commission Jesus, Lord. Father, for you are not sending us alone, but you are sending, Lord Savior. Father, us, Lord, as Lord Savior, faithful children, that you said you would go before us, Lord. You go with us, O God. And you, Lord Savior, Father, would you, Lord Savior, do a mighty, Lord Savior, works, and we would do nothing, Lord. We would just act out our part, Lord Savior. Give grace, Lord, even unto us, Lord. Give mercy, Lord Savior. God, as we pray for them, Lord. Even, Lord, Father, the young that are dwindling at this time, Father, you, Lord Savior, give them a fresh experience, Lord, a fresh desire, a fresh baptism, Lord Savior God, that they too, Lord Savior, may, Lord Savior, catch a light again, rekindle their love for the Lord Savior God, Lord, and pray, Lord Savior, make those, Lord Savior, so and all the moves, Lord Savior, to draw closer to the Lord Savior God. Father, we come with you, Lord, before the Lord, bless, Lord Savior, our pastor, Lord Father, Lord God, Lord, even in our spirit, minister unto us, Lord, as you would have desired. Bless this word to our hearts and bless our hearts to you. Lord, 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 to your service, O God. Father, we pray your grace for every God, every sister, Lord, even amidst the congregation, Lord. And remember, Lord Savior, Father, we are all witnessing such a great event, Lord Savior God. Let this be an event, Lord. Father, bring upon Lord Savior. Lord, but go out, Lord, and witness, Lord, Father, to people wherever you go, and bring ourselves to come to know thee, O God. Father, we thank thee for your kindness, Lord. We thank thee for your goodness, Lord, for your precious grace that is ever shining, Lord. And I pray for this young boy, brother, Vladimir, Lord Savior. Help him, O God. Even Lord Savior, such, Lord, a desire that he has, Lord Savior, such strong desires, Lord Savior, to incline himself with thee, Lord Savior God. Father, continue, Lord, to develop thyself unto him, Lord Savior God, that he too, Lord Savior, may catch a glow, Lord, and he can testify, Father, even within the church of his experience, Lord. Father, study with thee, study, Lord Savior, Lord, and then we, Lord Savior, may, Lord Savior, catch a light from these things, O God. We pray your grace, we pray your mercy, Lord Savior God. Guide us, Lord, help us, Lord, to stay close with thee, O God, in times as this, Lord, Savior God. Lord, we thank thee for your goodness. We thank thee for your grace. We thank thee for your greatness, Lord. Guide us, hear us, Lord.
Shepherd us, Lord, Savior God.
And we'd be always looking out for opportunity, Lord, seizing, Lord Savior, opportunity, Lord, Father, to speak, Lord Savior, Father, to seek the Lord, Lord Savior, to give all things unto thee, Lord. Waiting upon thee, Lord Savior, Lord, to be patiently placed before thee, Lord, and to move forward, and to Lord Savior, Father, to be brother, Lord Savior, we just commit the land to thee, Lord, why is this wrong? Father, we pray, my brother, Lord Savior, Patrick, Lord Savior, and the work that he's doing back home. You prosper, Lord, Savior God. Lord, we desire your grace, Lord, Savior God. We remember Louis, one of the stand, Savior. Father, O God, Lord, Savior, whenever she would hit the waters of baptism, Lord, Savior God, we pray that she would take such a noble, Lord, Savior, Lord, Father, decision, Lord, and Lord, an inward shaving of her life in the meantime. Father, that you would speak to her, Lord, Savior, in times as this, Lord, Savior, loving our brother James, Lord, trusting that he's completely delivered, Lord, of his condition, Lord.
Amen, amen. So let's just read Mark chapter 16 as we come to baptism. It's wonderful to see somebody that had a burden. And the Lord had somebody out there to come and show them the solution to the burden. And our brother is going to be baptized today. Let's read Mark 16 from verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Amen. Let's read Acts chapter 2 as well. Acts chapter 2. As with anything else, baptism, if a person's not in the Spirit, it's just making somebody wet. But if somebody's been burdened, has followed that burden through, our friends, baptism's a sweet day. Amen. It's a sweet time. Time you'll never forget.
Amen.
Let's read from 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? So our brother was pricked in his heart. Brother Nat was brought up Catholic, trusting in the Catholic faith. And friends, there's no salvation in Mary. There's no salvation in the church. There's nothing like that. There's salvation in one name. That's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Brother James started to testify to him. And then he said, What shall we do? Verse 38, Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins.
Amen.
And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. For the promise is unto you. Friends, if it was so hard for someone to receive the Holy Ghost, God would be defeating his own purpose. Amen. But if God calls you because he wants you to represent him, surely, would you bring somebody into a company and then not give them the resources that they need? I think sometimes, like a prophet says, what holds us back from receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we don't go into it wholeheartedly.
Amen.
We don't go wholeheartedly. But if you really are sold out for the Lord, say, Lord, I want to fulfill your purpose.
Amen.
Not my will, but thine be done.
Amen.
I think there and then, God is obligated in heaven above
Amen.
To quicken you and give all that you need to get the job done.
Amen.
That he's calling you to do. So if he calls you, he's got the Holy Ghost for you so that you can fulfill your call. It's got to be like that. But you've got to repent thoroughly. Then you've got to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus
Amen.
Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and your children and to all that are far off. Is that not wonderful? That promise is for our children and for them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So we're so glad. If the Lord calls somebody, the promise is to them. And we believe the Lord's calling our brother. So we're in faith that God will do something in the soul of the brother. Already Brother Nat's been testifying
Amen.
To his mother. He's been testifying to all his relatives, doing a tremendous job. Just telling how the fire got lit. If you don't know more than that, just tell how the fire got
Amen.
Lit. And may the
Amen.
Lord allow him to have an experience that the flame never goes out.
Amen.
No matter how much the cold wind will blow upon it, may the Lord continue to kindle the flame in him until he can be what the Lord wants him to be and to do the will of the Lord. So let's come to the baptism. Let's pray, Father. We're thankful for a baptism.
Amen.
We're thankful that you're still calling, Lord.
Amen.
We're thankful, Lord, for your wonders and how you bring people together. You can bring one man from the other side of the world and another man from another place on the other side of the world. And you can ordain for them to meet in this place, in your time. And Father, we see the results of that upon this day. Won't you bless our brother Nat, Lord? Won't you bless him and his family? Won't you bless, Father, all of his endeavors, Lord, to bear record and to be witness of your truth and for what you've done for him.
Amen.
And Father, anybody else here that's in the valley of decision, I pray in this baptism, speak to them, Lord,
Amen.
That they may fulfill all righteousness, that you may take them on, that your will may be done in their life. Bless this baptism in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Are you dressed ready for baptism, bro? Or do you need to change? Are you ready, yeah? Okay, let's sing a couple of song sets.
Into Jesus, cleansing power, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you garment in the grace? This hour, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, yeah. In the blood, in the soul, cleansing blood of the Lamb. this I'll be white as snow, white in the blood of the Lamb. Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood? In that precious cleansing blood, in that soul cleansing blood, overlay. Are your garments
spotless?
Are they white as snow?
Are you washed
in the blood of the
Lamb? Amen. Brother Nat, you've desired to make a public profession today.
Amen.
Of what has already happened in your heart. The Lord's already saved you. You've already believed in Him. Do you believe
Amen.
In Jesus only for your salvation?
Yes, I do.
You renounce all other gods.
Yes, I do.
All other traditions.
Yes, I do.
All other ceremonies.
Yes, I do.
And you believe only in Him.
In
His death.
Yes, I do.
His burial.
Yes, I do.
His resurrection.
Yes, I do.
And that He's called you to serve Him.
Yes,
Amen. Why don't you get in, brother? Because of your profession of faith. That's right. You sit, that's right, brother. If you just go, it'll be a little bit cold. Brother Nat, because of your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the
Hallelujah.
Name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. Stand, we'll pray for you, brother.
Oh, yes. Amen.
Oh, Father, how we thank you, Lord, for our brother, Lord, even now.
Hallelujah.
Even as you have said, Lord, fill him with your glory.
Amen.
Father, fill him with zeal and power. Father, you said you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, Lord. Father, equip your son, we pray, and send him forth for your glory. Father, that he may bring them in from the north and the south and the east and the west, that you may see his children being baptized, that you may he may see his parents being baptized. Oh, his relatives, Lord. Father, light a fire in our brother that the devil will never be able to put out, Lord. Bless our brother, Lord. Deliver him from evil, Lord. Deliver him from the evil of men.
Amen.
Deliver him from the evil of the evil one, Lord. May your hand be upon him each step of the way. May your word be a lamp unto his feet.
Amen.
Father, may you feed his soul with heavenly manna.
Amen.
Father, may you
Amen.
Be his strength and his power. May you be his satisfying portion, Lord. Deliver him from sickness, Lord, we pray. Deliver him from misfortune inside of his life, Lord. May your blessing rest upon him and upon his house, Lord. Bless his comings in and his going out, Lord. We bless our brother. We thank you, Lord, for him. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. God bless you, brother. Wonderful. Hallelujah. Amen.
Happy birthday. That is my choice to be my Savior and my God.
Well,
ship is glowing on,
heart
rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day, happy day. is my joy. Oh, how do you move me? So my love. Let you keep anthems fill his house. Far to that sand. Great shine.
To dedicate these Bibles. Sister Comfort has a real nice little Bible. Brother David has a nice rabbi's Bible. Everyone knows you're a Christian when you walk around with a Bible like this. Let's dedicate these to the Lord. Father, thank you for your word.
Amen.
Father, your word is life unto us, Lord. Your word is all that we need. You said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Bless these Bibles, we pray. Bless them to our sister. Bless them to our brother. Father, may they be a real blessing unto them. Father, may you reveal yourself. Father, may these Bibles lead them to fresh experiences, Lord. May these Bibles, Father, continue to feed that something that you've done inside of them. Bless these Bibles, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that song, Give Me Oil in My Lamp. Keep Me Burning. Keep me burning
give
till the
break. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Oh, give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day.
Oh, let's sing Hosanna.
Sing Hosanna.
Hosanna.
Joy in my heart, give me joy. Oh,
Egypt's land, you see me no more there, for I live.
live in another land. My tent is no more pitch. I'll be in Egypt's land. You'll see me no more there, for I live in another land.
Alleluia,
alleluia, alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Let's sing that song, Kick Him Down. Kick Him Down, have the devil on the run. You know, if you want to get the devil on the run in your life, be about the things of the Lord.
Amen.
Keep yourself busy for the Lord. The devil doesn't have very much of an opportunity.
Amen.
That's the best thing to do. Let's kick him down. We ask Brother Eli, if you wouldn't mind, come to close the service after that.
Brother. Kick him down, kick him down, have the devil on the run. Son of God must not be trodden down, so kick him down. Kick him down, kick him down, have the devil on the run. Son of God must not be trodden down, so kick that mother down. Arise and shine, King Theophany has come. Let's hold to his unchanging hand. Praise the Lord, praise His name, and be garrisoned by prayer. Don't let the devil take your confidence, so in your heart confess. Don't you hate your brother, that's the root of bitterness. You've got to walk in that way of holiness. Kick him down, kick him down, have the devil on the run. A son of God must not be trodden down, so kick him down, kick him down, kick him down, have the devil on the run. A son of God must not be trodden down, so kick that down. Cover your face, cover your feet with reverence and humility. Let's go into action with humility. Stand flat-footed in your trials, though they may be sometimes mean. Always remember to call Jesus on the sick. Remember every day, have that token on display. It's an act of love, so follow that dove. That snow white dove, that snow white dove. Kick him down, have the devil on the run. The Son of God must not be trodden down, so kick that mother down. Kick him down, kick him down, have the devil on the run. Son of God must not be trodden down, so kick that mother down. Hallelujah! Unconquered by tradition, in this day we stand. Like Joshua and Caleb, we are going to take that land. But brother, it won't be easy, it's not a flowery bed of ease. Remember that old devil, he will squeeze. Don't let him have you blue, wondering what you're gonna do. It's an act of love just done. So we'll just be kick him down, have the devil on the run. The Son of God must not be trodden down, so kick him down, have the devil on the run. The Son of God must not be trodden down, so kick that mama down.
Thank you, Heavenly Father. We have reached the end of this service, O Lord. You have guided us through songs, through testimonies, through worship, through the preaching of the word. We thank you for that, O Lord. And we know that through all of these different parts of the service, O Lord, everyone have drawn something that he needs for his spiritual work, O Lord. We thank you once again for our brother Nat. Oh, Heavenly Father, seeing one more soldier joining the army of the Lord, O Lord.
Amen.
We know that the heaven is rejoicing this time, O Lord.
Amen.
We know that the host of the heaven, O Lord, are standing and giving glory to you.
Amen.
For bringing into your house one of the seeds that you knew before the foundation of the world, O Lord. And you planted him to be manifested in this age, O Lord.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we know that the other kingdom is not happy at all, O Lord.
Amen.
And it will strike, O Lord. It will come and challenge him, O Lord. But we know that you equipped him, O Lord, so that he will stand and overcome every bow, every strike that will come from that man, O Lord. Oh, Father, it should remind every one of us of that day that we took that decision, O Lord, to follow you, Heavenly Father. Because sometimes it just becomes a habit. Sometimes it just becomes a custom, O Lord. We wake up on Sunday, we go to church, some man stand on the pulpit and speaks, we sing and we go back home. Revive us, O Lord. Let it every day become a new experience, O Lord. Because the Holy Ghost is not something we have get to use to, O Lord. The Holy Ghost is an everyday experience, O Lord. Renew it in us, O Lord. And we know, Heavenly Father, that needs consecration, O Lord. That needs commitment from ourselves, O Lord. We get so caught every day in our daily lives, O Lord, that we forget the most important, which is to look after our souls, O Lord. Bless us as we celebrate the baptism of our brother, O Lord. Let it be a reminder for us, O Lord, so that we can be every day at your service, O Lord. Bless your servant who stood on this pulpit, ministering to your people, O Lord. We know that we still have a lot to do, O Lord. When we see this island, O Lord, sometimes we must be ashamed of ourselves, O Lord, for not shining enough light, O Lord, to bring this pagan world, O Lord, into the knowledge of the kingdom of the Lord, O Heavenly Father. O Father, most of the time, we are only looking after our human needs, O Lord, but the Great Commission must come first, O Lord. We should go, O Lord, running after the lost souls, O Lord, to bring them into the kingdom. We may just be a mother in the house, O Lord, but we can minister to those lost souls from our position. We may just be a mechanic, as the prophet says, O Lord. We may just be a teacher. We may just be whatever we are, O Lord. Let us shine the light in every circumstances, O Lord. Bless your servant who has spoken to us. Let him, O Lord, be renewed in his strength, O Lord. Let him be renewed in his resources, O Lord, so that it can bring more to your people, O Lord. We commit this week into your hands. We are approaching the end of the year, O Lord. We know that this time of the year, many things happen, O Lord, because the kingdom of the devil is not silent. They want to do something. They want to celebrate too, O Lord. Heavenly Father, we commit all of your children into your hand. We have heard planes falling down here and there. We have heard things happening here and there, O Lord. Bombs blasting, O Lord. But Heavenly Father, we know that we are under your control. And you'll provide for our security, O Lord. There's no security in this world. There's security into your name, O Lord. That's why be with us as we head toward the end of the year. Be with us in our every plan, every program that is planned for this church, O Lord. Be with us, O Lord. Bless us as we dismiss. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing one as we dismiss. God bless you, saints. Until we meet.